Imagine getting up every day full of energy as if you were in your 20s again. What would that be like? What would that be worth to you? What is your health worth to you? Think about it. Your health isn't everything, but without it, everything else is nothing. And yet too many of us are taking it for granted until something goes wrong. No one wakes up hoping to be diagnosed with a disease or chronic illness. And yet we've never been taught how to be proactive in our health through our school system or public health. As a registered health coach and integrative health practitioner, I believe it is time this information is made available to everyone. Combining new knowledge around your health and the ability to do my functional medicine lab tests in the comfort of your own home will allow you to optimize your health for today and all your tomorrows. Don't wait for your wake-up call. Hi, welcome back. Melissa Dealey here, host of the Don't Wait for Your Wake-Up Call podcast. And today I want to start a series on hormones. And the reason that I want to do this is that as I went back to school to do all of my health coach training and my integrative health coach training, I realized just how much I didn't know about my own body. And I also realized that I think society tries to do a really good job of teaching our young girls about puberty, but very often that's in co-ed schools with boys in the classroom at the age of 9, 10, 11, where learning this information is very embarrassing for them, especially in that environment with boys around. And I know sometimes boys and girls are separated for some parts of these lessons. I know that was the case with my own two daughters back at the time, but they were embarrassed to be in that environment learning this information. And as a result, how much did they actually really learn, right? And so then, you know, we can supplement that education for them at home, et cetera, potentially through, you know, girls' organizations, girl guides, or supporting girls, different organizations where they get additional information, books, et cetera. So, you know, we do try to put a lot of focus on teaching girls about going through puberty and what is happening inside their body and what that means. But how much do they retain of that as they get into adulthood? And I know in my case, there was a lot of, you know, details that I did not perhaps ever learn or certainly didn't retain. And I really only had the basics. And then when it comes to menopause, society really hasn't figured out a way to teach women about menopause. You know, back in years gone by when you had three generations living in a home and villages and, you know, multiple generations of women raising children, this information was definitely passed down through the ages. But in our modern world where, you know, we all live in our own homes, generally one generation, and it's not a village anymore, it's a massive city, and we're all busy in our lives, raising our family in our corporate world, we're not coming together as women to pass this information down through the generations. And so again, I realized I had never learned about menopause. And again, what was going on in my body, what was happening to my hormones, and how that was impacting how I was feeling. And so I wanted to share some of my learnings with you today. And obviously there's a lot more detail than what I'll be sharing today. And you probably don't need all the detail, but maybe you would just like some answers to why you feel the way you do, why you've hit a certain age and you seem to be gaining weight and unable to lose weight. You know, why there's some headaches happening, some brain fog. There's so many different symptoms, you know, and I'll go into those a little bit further into the podcast, but I just wanted to invite you here to start learning about what is happening in your body as our hormones change throughout our lives. So let's just start off with our 28-day cycle. In the first 14 days, That's called the follicular phase. And in that phase, our estrogen levels are ramping up. And when we get to about day 14, our estrogen levels suddenly drop and our progesterone levels start increasing in the second phase of our cycle. And that second phase of our cycle and the purpose of progesterone there is to be preparing the womb to support the egg so that pregnancy can occur versus the egg being released from the body and pregnancy doesn't occur. The womb needs to be ready to support that egg in order to be able to have that little egg grow into a wonderful human baby 9 months later. And so what we're seeing today is we're seeing imbalances in hormones that are causing problems with this natural cycle. And this can actually lead to fertility issues. And we have a lot of fertility issues today in young women for many reasons. But let me just back up a step and talk about what estrogen is and the different types of estrogens, and also what progesterone is doing and how it serves us in our cycle. So there's actually three main types of estrogen. Estradiol, which is called, the scientific name for it, I suppose, is E2. It's the most common type of estrogen of women in childbearing years. E3 is called estriol, and it's the main estrogen during pregnancy. And there is also another estrogen during pregnancy called E4. And then E1 is called estrone, and that is the only estrogen made in the body after menopause. And then for progesterone, this is preparing the womb for the potential of pregnancy, as I said. So it's after ovulation and the womb is prepared so that the egg can be nourished. It's basically triggering the lining to thicken to accept a fertilized egg. And it also prohibits muscle contractions in the uterus that would cause the body to reject an egg. While the body is producing high levels of progesterone, the body will not ovulate. And if the woman does not become pregnant, then the corpus luteum, this thickened lining, breaks down and it starts to lower progesterone levels in the body, and this sparks menstruation. If the body does conceive, then progesterone continues to stimulate the body to provide the blood vessels in the womb that will then feed the growing fetus for a healthy and safe pregnancy. Progesterone also prepares the limit of the uterus further so that it can accept that fertilized egg. And once the placenta develops, it also begins to secrete progesterone, supporting the corpus luteum. This causes the levels to remain elevated throughout the entire pregnancy, so the body does not produce more eggs. And it also helps prepare the breasts for milk production. So you can see just how important progesterone is in allowing an egg to be fertilized and then nourished and grow into a human baby with a healthy pregnancy. And when we don't have enough progesterone in our body, the egg, the body knows the egg will not be nourished well, and the body releases that egg. So it makes it very, very hard for women to become pregnant when they don't have enough progesterone. So here's the problem in today's world, is it is so easy for us to get into a state of what is called estrogen dominance. As I've mentioned before in podcasts, The body always wants to be in balance. And it's the ratio or the balance between estrogen and progesterone that is really important in female health. So we get into a state of estrogen dominance if we have too much estrogen relative to the amount of progesterone in our body. And this can be true even if our estrogen levels are low. If our progesterone levels are even lower, we are still in a state of estrogen dominance. And when we are in this state, the body is much less likely to conceive. So estrogen dominance is very, very common in today's world, both for our younger women as well as women that are perimenopausal and menopausal women. And that's because it is so easy for our body to have more estrogen. And it's also easy for our body to not have enough progesterone. So there's kind of a double whammy going on. So first of all, let me talk about why we can have so much estrogen in our body. So first of all, there's something called phytoestrogens, which are estrogens that we get from our food, such as flax, soy, tofu, hummus, chickpeas, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, garlic, mung beans, conventional red meat, because those animals were fed hormones and then we eat that red meat and their hormones come through into our body, as well as alcohol. So yes, your glass of red wine can be boosting your estrogen. Now you'll know many of the first things I mentioned are actually all healthy foods. And so it's not a bad thing to eat them per se, but if you are suffering symptoms of estrogen dominance, or perhaps we've done a lab test in order to determine your hormonal balances, there are going to be foods that you're going to want to limit, knowing that they will naturally boost your estrogen levels. The flip side of that is xenoestrogens. Now, xenoestrogens are toxins that are coming into the body that mimic estrogen. So these are things like phthalates, parabens, bisphenol A or B, pesticides on food or lawn, PCBs, and more. So they're found in plastics. Many of them can be found in personal care products, etc. So these are toxins that we need to be aware of. And it's a big reason why I so often talk about, are your trash cans overflowing, and the need to detox, because these are naturally getting inside our body and elevating our estrogen levels. So we also, it's a double whammy, as I said, because our progesterone levels can be naturally lowered. And the reason for that is the level of stress we have in our society today. And when that stress becomes chronic stress and we go into a state of fight or flight, what is happening is the body is producing adrenaline and cortisol in order for you to be able to get to safety. And in the process of doing that, it needs to shut down other systems in order to give you the energy you need to get to safety. And so it shuts down digestion and it shuts down procreation. In that moment of needing to get to safety, we don't care about digestion and the last meal that we ate. And we also aren't, you know, in a state of mind to be procreating. We need to first get to safety, right? And so a very simple explanation of what the body is doing. And remember, the body is never wrong. It knows exactly what to do in any given time based on the triggers that you are creating for your body. So here you are in this state of chronic stress and the body is shutting down procreation. It needs to create more cortisol to support you getting to safety. And it does that by bypassing progesterone production. It's a system that the body can do in order to create more cortisol in times of emergency to get you to safety. But when that happens all the time, every day, because you're constantly in a state of chronic stress, the body then is constantly choosing to produce more cortisol rather than progesterone. Therefore, less progesterone is being produced. Therefore, your body is getting out of balance because estrogen levels could be normal. Progesterone is not being produced, and that creates a state of estrogen dominance again. So you can see how easy it is for us to get into this state of estrogen dominance as a result of phytoestrogens getting into our body through our food and increasing our estrogen levels, as a result of xenoestrogens, the toxic ones, getting into our body and increasing our estrogen levels, and as a result of chronic stress that results in less progesterone being made. And here's the thing, is our brain is charged with keeping us safe, and it doesn't know the difference between needing to have you get to safety from potentially being chased by a lion or a tiger in our hunter-gatherer days versus the buildup of stress that you feel when, you know, your day starts off, it's rushed, you're trying to get kids out the door to school and they're being difficult and you're frustrated, you're, you know, getting angry with them. Maybe there's an argument with your spouse, you're driving to work, you're stuck in traffic, maybe your boss calls and wants, you know, to bump up a deadline on something that you're working on, and you just feel the stress levels in your body going up and up and up. And the brain doesn't know the difference. So that just triggers more cortisol to be produced in your body and at a bypass to progesterone being produced. So I know that that was, you know, probably getting into a lot of detail, but it's interesting and helpful when we understand some of the systems in the way that our body works, so that you can then have this knowledge to do something about it. And that's the wonderful thing here, is that you can do something about this. You can do lab tests in order to actually determine the balance in your hormones. And the lab tests will look at your estrogen levels, your progesterone, the ratio between the two, your testosterone levels, your DHEA, which is a precursor to testosterone and estrogen. It will look at cortisol levels 4 times through the day to see, is your body in balance with cortisol levels, or are your cortisol levels not they're out of whack and potentially causing issues with your sleep, for instance. The lab test can also look at your vitamin D levels, as well as your thyroid levels, as well as your insulin, both fasting and 90-day levels. So it's really powerful, because when we actually have the opportunity to see exactly what's going on inside your body in terms of these balances, it's then really easy to offer a natural healing protocol with supplements and herbs that can help bring your body back into balance. And it doesn't take a long time to do that. It's generally 4 to 6 months is all it takes using a natural protocol. And I highly recommend using a natural protocol versus synthetic hormone replacement, because when we use synthetic hormone replacement, the body stops producing the hormones itself because it sees the hormones coming in and is like, well, then I'm not going to make more, and stops making them. And then you end up potentially being on the synthetic hormone replacement for the rest of your life. Whereas when you are using, you know, herbs and natural supplements to support either progesterone or estrogen levels and bringing the body back into balance, the body doesn't stop producing the hormones. These foods, because that's what they really are simply supporting the body to get the body back to a place of balance. And then at that point, we can stop, you know, using those additional herbs and supplements. So that's definitely the ideal way to go. Now, I also did mention the thyroid earlier, and I just want to point out that there are so many links between having, you know, a state of estrogen dominance to other aspects of our health. So high estrogen can lead to low thyroid function. And the thyroid is what's running our metabolism. And we want a strong metabolism to have energy and be breaking down our food well, et cetera, and have that function all in balance. And when our estrogen levels are high, it starts to slow our thyroid and put us into a state of low thyroid and slow down our metabolism, start to cause weight gain, all things people don't want, and put these two hormones out of balance. And then the flip side is also true, that as the thyroid lowers, it starts to trigger estrogen dominance. And so that people can get into that negative cycle. And that's a cycle that we need and want to be breaking. Also, estrogen dominance can be leading to higher insulin levels. And higher insulin levels can then be leading to diagnoses of prediabetes. So again, not something that we want. And so often, as people start to get into perimenopause and menopause years, our hormones are changing naturally anyway. We have all of these external factors of stress and the food that we're eating and the toxins getting into our body that can put us out of balance. And that just triggers more and more symptoms down the line. And one of them that I hear so often from women is weight gain, as I said. And often when we think of weight gain, then we think, okay, I want to lose this weight. How do I do that? Well, I have to go on a diet and I have to eat less and I have to exercise more. But the reality is that it isn't all just about eating fewer calories and exercising more. We have to actually correct the imbalances in the body in order for the weight to then be lost naturally, because a body in balance doesn't hold on to excess weight or get sick or harbor disease. And so that's just something to be aware of that you might want to be considering if you've, you know, been gaining weight, not happy about it, tried dieting and exercising more, and that's not working and you don't understand why. There's something more to it. And it's very often the fact that your body is out of balance. And that's where running lab tests can really help you understand where your body is out of balance, so you know what you can do about it. So I said that I would go through some of the symptoms that people are experiencing, because they're so common and you might relate to these and realize, oh, wow, that's me. And great, because now I know that there's something more that I can look into to be helping myself. And I don't just have to accept these symptoms as menopause and live with them. Because here's the thing, is that perimenopause can start anywhere from ages 35 to 45. And then menopause can be anywhere from 45 to 55. And even once women are through menopause, they can still have menopausal symptoms for several more years after that. So nobody wants to live with these symptoms and just accept that this is the way that it has to be. That's no fun for anyone, right? And so hearing these symptoms, you might start to realize, okay, this is me. And yes, I can absolutely do something about that. And also, I just want to say, because I hear this from a lot of people, is how do I know when I'm through menopause? So you are declared through menopause, and at the point where you have not had a menstrual cycle for 12 consecutive months. So you're in a state of perimenopause from whenever the symptoms start. You start having your regular periods, etc. You might have heavier periods and just erratic periods. You're kind of, the 28-day cycle is gone at that point. That's the start of perimenopause, and it can last 1 to 2 years. And that's when the drop in estrogen often accelerates. And so there are some situations where your estrogen can actually be quite a bit lower. But as I mentioned at the very beginning, you could still be in a state of estrogen dominance. But there are some cases where women are actually lower in estrogen than progesterone. And so that would be a different treatment protocol that we would be providing, because in that particular person, you would need to be increasing your estrogen levels rather than decreasing relative to progesterone. And that's where the lab testing comes in so handy, because then we get to stop guessing and you know exactly what's going on inside your body and exactly what next steps to take. So in the last 1 to 2 years of perimenopause, that's when the estrogen drop really accelerates. But perimenopause itself can last 8 to 10 years. And then once you've had no cycle for 12 months, then you are now through menopause and into a state of postmenopause. But at that time, as I said, you can still have symptoms of menopause for a number of years, even up to a decade after having that last 12 months of no cycle. So symptoms of high estrogen, examples are bloating, erratic emotions, irritability, pounding headaches, uterine fibroids, fibrocystic breasts, water retention, weight gain around the hips, unstable blood sugar levels, joint pain, recurring yeast infections can be common, as well as breast and nipple tenderness. And then signs of low estrogen are hot flashes or night sweats, fatigue, vaginal dryness or discomfort during sex, brain fog, memory and concentration issues, osteoporosis, gas and flatulence, migraine headaches, depression, frequent urination, decreased libido and lubrication, dry skin, brittle nails, and insomnia. So not just any one of those is going to be a sign that you have low estrogen or high estrogen, but if you have quite a few of those off either of your lists, then it might be an indication that it's something that you want to look into further. And know that if your hormones are imbalanced, which is so incredibly common, as I said, you can easily bring your body back into balance and alleviate these symptoms instead of accepting them as being, you know, menopausal or perimenopausal and having to put up with them for the next 8 to 10 years of your life. So I hope that information has been helpful for you. In my next episode, I will be having a guest on, and I look forward to talking with her about her own hormonal experience, as well as an organization that she has started that brings together holistic practitioners. And I want to share that information with you, because if you are interested in looking after your own health, being proactive in it on the holistic side of things, well, how awesome is it to have an organization where you can find many different practitioners in one place? So tune back in next week for that as I continue my series on hormones. And I also want to let you know that in the month of May, I am going to be running a women's hormones course, a group course. The program has been created by Dr. Cabral of the Integrative Health Practitioner Program, through whom I did my training. And it's fabulous, fabulous content. It's a lot of detail. And I invite people to join this course to learn this information. You buy the course, and then I'm offering free support in the form of weekly sessions for 3 weeks to guide you through it, to come to class with me, to have questions answered as you go through this content, and really start to learn about what's going on inside your body and what you can do to eradicate your symptoms and bring your body back into balance. So thank you for joining me today. I'll see you next time. And always remember, health is your true wealth. Thank you for investing this time with me on the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I'm so glad you joined in. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit and have a positive impact on their life, that would be wonderful. please leave a review by going to your favorite podcast listening app and let me know what you enjoy or would like to hear more of. It will support me in my effort to bring the possibility of natural healing to a wider audience and help disrupt the sick care system we have today and make human health a global priority. Health is your true wealth.